whose love streams like fresh water into the deserts of our hearts. You turn us from greed, prejudice, and partiality to healing and justice. Make us companions of those who long for your healing touch, for deliverance, and give us safe passage at last into the land of your shalom. Have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? It's talking about prejudice. Who amongst us is prejudiced? Remember a couple of years ago, I shared a story about a shoeshine boy in Dominican Republic. I skipped a passage, a little part of the story. I'll tell it again. When I was a seminarian, I was 23, 4, I was sent to Dominican Republic to do my theology studies. And we went a summer before starting college, university, master's, and we went to the border with Haiti. There was a parish there called San Juan de la Maguana. And I get to the town, go to the plaza, and go out. And as soon as I step foot on the plaza, all these little boys come. They want to shine my shoes. A ton of them. And they're all, and one especially was pulling my foot. He wanted to grab my foot and forcibly shine my shoes. What I didn't tell a couple of years ago is I did not allow him to shine my shoes because I was suspicious. I was suspicious, maybe these kids are going to steal my money. If I pull out my wallet, they might grab it and run. I was suspicious of them. These brown kids, these kids that are poor, a country I don't know, all these suspicions came into my head. A lot of prejudice. And I told him a lie. I told the little kid, oh, I don't have any money. A lie. I had plenty of money in my pocket. The little boy looks at me with a quizzical sign. Okay. And he runs, disappears. But he leaves his shoeshine box there. A couple of minutes later, he comes back with a fried dough. And he says, since you don't have money, here. And he gave me something to eat. That was my first day in my new country where I was going to go live and become a missionary. And that was a good teaching. He's saying, oh, you think you are coming here to teach us? You who are almost the priest and all that? And that teaching was like a blow in my face. I said, Berto, back up. First of all, if you want to be a missionary, first of all, acknowledge your own prejudice, your own racism, because it's there. And this little kid taught me that all my suspicions, that could have been right. I've had experiences of being robbed and all that. That happens in the world, and they're bad people. But my problem was I generalized. I assume because he was from a different country, from a different color of my own, because he was poor, I suspected him as being someone who would steal me. And that was a very impressive teaching to me. Today, the story of the gospel and the second reading asks us, and it confronts us to recognize our own prejudice. And that is an uncomfortable thing to say. Many of us don't want to be pointed out as being prejudiced, and to be racist. And when I talk racism, not only the color of skins, but there are many prejudices. Prejudice because someone is a woman. Prejudice because someone is poor. Someone speaks a different language, believes in a different religion, or doesn't believe one. The many prejudices against atheists we have in our country. It's a big thing. There's tons of different prejudices because someone comes from the South. Of course, they're from the South. they're all racist. Sometimes I've had friends who are African-Americans who like says, I'd rather have upfront racism than the racism very liberal, progressive from the North, who is a little bit hidden. Sometimes those are worse than the blatant racism. So today, I think the invitation, this question in the letter to James asks us, have we not made distinctions among ourselves? We become judges with evil thoughts. Is a challenge that is thrown to us. The gospel of today presents us a very complicated situation, and I imagine you caught there's a tension here. A woman who is a Gentile, a non-Jewish woman from the region of Tyre, a Syrophoenician woman, comes to Jesus asking for healing. And Jesus, what does he tell her? Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. Dogs are not like dogs here. In the Middle East, the ancient Middle East, and still to today, dogs are filthy creatures. It's not, that idea of having pets as dogs is very bizarre. Some cultures look at Americans who, like us, that me especially, with my dog Ava, no? That is unheard of. How filthy is that to have a dog in your house? Dogs were filthy creatures that you just despise. And it was common to address people who were not from that country, the Jewish people, as dogs. It was a common thing. And before we make judgments against the Jewish people, be careful there. We all know. I'm always a little bit hesitant to use the Jewish term. But it was that situation. Us, we have ours. So let's not point fingers outside and look inside. So yes, the Jewish people thought of non-Jewish people as dogs. And this words that Jesus says are startling. What in the world is Jesus saying here? I have a priest friend of mine. She wrote yesterday on Facebook saying, I hope none of you, talking about as priests, I hope none of you go in the route of saying that Jesus had prejudice or that Jesus had a sin. That's a heresy. I was tempted to say to her, I'm sorry that I'm going to go that route. Now, I have to make a point. I truly believe Jesus was completely human and was without sin. And sin, by sin I mean some he did something purposely wrong. I don't believe Jesus had sin. But I do believe that Jesus was completely human. Truly human, as we'll say in Nicene Creed. He was incarnate and became fully, fully human. One of the problems with prejudice and racism is that we put it aside. Oh no, me? No. I don't have it. And I think that is one of the most dangerous things. When we do not acknowledge what it is because it's so offensive, we put it away. And I would like for us to look at what happened to Jesus, not that Jesus had a sin, but yes, that Jesus was prejudiced. And what I want to say is prejudice in itself is not necessarily a mortal sin or a novel thing. Having prejudice is part of being born in a certain culture. I was born up in Puerto Rico. We have our own races. It's a different one than the United States. But in my country, if you're a little bit darker than me, I'm dark. Here, it's interesting, I'm darker. But in Puerto Rico, I'm on the more lighter side. So we have those who are below me, especially Dominican Republic. And the Dominicans point towards the Haitians, the darker and the darker. We all have grown up from our families, the school, our neighbors, who have taught us racist, prejudiced ways of thinking. And today, when Jesus said these words, what I would like to think was that Jesus was simply speaking as a human being, as someone from his culture, who had prejudice. And when he says this to this woman, he is speaking aloud what was inside his heart. There is a commentator, a professor, who wrote this commentary, and he asked these questions. He acknowledges this can be a little bit edgy, so bear with me. He said, it's Professor Lloyd Bradley, says, what if the placement of these stories after the warnings about hypocrisy highlights not the shortcomings of Jesus' followers, but of Jesus himself. Could the story of the Syrophoenician woman be a kind of conversion moment for Jesus, in which he realizes how, maybe in a very human moment of physical and mental exhaustion, he has lost sight of the point of his mission and has to be reconnected with it by someone assumed to be outside of it. Then for Mark, the woman is more than simply a rhetorically gifted, she's a smart woman, but rather she's a prophet. She is being prophetic. To read these texts as a metanoia of Jesus, a change in heart of Jesus, raises serious theological questions. How can Jesus change if he is divine? Does this shortcoming of Jesus actually constitute an example of sin? So I think, I know it's edgy, and I know some might be thinking, oh my God, where is Bertha going here? Again, I'm assuming Jesus did not commit sin. But again, having prejudice for me is not a sin. It can lead to sin, and that is, I think, the teaching that Jesus had, for me at least. This woman comes, and she's a mirror to him. And suddenly, I would like to think it this way. Jesus said these words, and when she said, sir, remember those words? I'll say them again. Sir, he tells Jesus, sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. I can imagine Jesus saying, oh, my, okay. You got me here. I'm sorry. I imagine for Jesus, it was a reflection. So he said, oh, wow. You have taught me. You have opened up my eyes to discover what's in me. And I think the sinlessness of Jesus was precisely. He recognized what was there and then suddenly said, oh, no, I cannot act or keep saying these words because these are prejudice. These are racist words. And he changed and he says, he grew. And I think Jesus as a human being, divine but human, was someone who was teaching us, reflecting us that we also are capable and able to change, to transform our hearts. So, I wonder, what can this teach us today? Preparing this sermon, I heard Bishop Rickle's video that appeared in the Seattle Times. And it's a video, a series of video called Under the Skin. I recommend you to watch it. And he appears, he's amongst many other people, speaking about this issue of prejudice and racism. And Bishop Rickle said these words. Well, I am a racist. I say I'm a recovering racist. Being a white male from the South, I think I'm probably in the category that is the ultimate racist. Being marinated in that all your life, you cannot help but carry that with you. What I see a lot of white people do is decide they are not racist. Oh, they're not talking to me. They're not talking about me. Or we sure do need to do something about it, but it doesn't include me. Bishop Rick will continue saying, because what they are talking about is something else. And I think that's the biggest sin. I didn't really get to a place of dealing with this until I was able to say, I am a racist. And I know this can spark a little bit of uncomfortability in some of you, but I want you to hold and to listen to that experience. What I think today's gospel is a beautiful example of what Bishop Rickle shared with us. It is the example of, just like the bishop, just like Jesus, just like us, we are children of our culture. Yes, Jesus was the Son of God, pure light and love, but at the same time, he was a human being. Like the letter to the Hebrews describes Jesus. We have a high priest who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Jesus was tested. Jesus was a human being who experienced all the temptations, and one of them is to be prejudiced. He from his culture mirrored what his culture believed and thought and had as a value. And this woman, thanks to her courage, to her putting aside her own ego, that's a beautiful way of looking at this woman. This woman had her goal, which was what? Heal my daughter. My little child, she is in need of healing. Please do something. She puts aside her pride and she says, okay, I hear you, Jesus. You're telling me a dog. I don't care about that. Heal my daughter. That's what I want. That's what I want. She's able to take that, all that word, those hurtful words, I probably felt, she felt hurt. She says, okay, but my daughter is, she needs you. That's the most important thing. It's a woman full of love, a love that transcends anything. She doesn't get triggered. She doesn't get the bait. And she says, okay, you want me to call me a dog? Fine. Dogs also eat. Heal my daughter. So today I think we can learn from her. We can learn from Jesus himself. Bishop Rickle's example, hopefully my little example of my story. We all have judgments, prejudgments. We all have assumptions, stereotypes of other people. May we learn that the most important thing is simply to recognize them when they're there, to allow another person to be a mirror to us and to say, oops, oh wow, yeah, thank you, and to change our hearts and our minds. I want to invite you now to say a prayer to end the sermon on page 815 in the Book of Common Prayer. I would like you to pray together the prayer for the human family. Page 815. This is the prayer for the human family, prayer number 3. Let's pray together. O God, you made us in your own image and redeemed us through Jesus, your Son. Look with compassion on the whole human family. Take away the arrogance and hatred which infect our hearts. Break down the walls that separate us. Unite us in love.